Chapter 6. Guests arrive. I did not see Mr. Rochester the next day. In the evening I came downstairs expecting to meet him, but I found only Mrs. Fairfax.
"The weather has been very good for Mr. Rochester's journey," she said.
"Journey?" I said. "Has he gone somewhere?"
"Yes. He has gone to Mr. Eshton's place, 10 miles past Millcote. There are a lot of people staying there. Lord Ingram and his beautiful daughter Blanche, Sir George Lynn and others. He will be there for a week or more."
But he did not return after a week. Another week came, and then a letter arrived.
"It is from Mr. Rochester," said Mrs. Fairfax. "He is coming back in 3 days, and he is bringing people with him."
At the end of a warm April day, Mrs. Fairfax, Adele and I watched a group of men and women riding towards Thornfield. Pilot ran in front of them. Mr. Rochester rode at the front on his black horse, and next to him rode a lady. She wore a purple coat that nearly reached her feet. Her long hair was thick and dark.
"Miss Ingram," said Mrs. Fairfax,
and she quickly left the room. I watched the horses arrive at the front of the house. Adele and I ate in the kitchen. She was excited and wanted to go and meet Mr. Rochester's guests. "Mr. Rochester and his guests are busy," I told her. "You must stay with me." The next day the group went out riding. Once again, Blanche Ingram was next to Mr. Rochester. "He likes her more than the other women," I said to Mrs. Fairfax. "I would like to see her face."
"You will see it this evening," she replied. "Mr. Rochester asked for you and Adele to join him after dinner."
Adele and I went into the drawing room just after 8 p.m. Adele immediately went to speak to the women, but I sat quietly by the window and sewed. There were 8 women there. There were Mrs. Eshton and her 2 daughters, a large woman called Lady Lynn, and Mrs. Dent, who was thin and pale. Then there were Lady Ingram and her daughters, Blanche and Mary. All 3 were tall and beautiful, but Blanche was the most beautiful. Her eyes were dark, like Mr. Rochester's. I watched her carefully. She played the piano well, she sang beautifully, and she spoke very good French. But I noticed that she liked to make people feel stupid. Mr. Rochester stood next to the fire and watched her. He did not look at me. Blanche looked at Adele, and then at him.
"I thought you did not like children, Mr. Rochester," she asked.
"I don't," he replied.
"Then why are you looking after this little doll?"
"She is my ward," he said.
"Then why didn't you send her to school?" she asked. "Oh, but you have a governess for her, don't you? I saw a person come in with her. Yes, there she is, by the window."
"Oh, don't talk about governesses," said Lady Ingram quickly. "I have had terrible ones. I'm just very happy that I don't need them now."
The conversation moved on to marriage and other subjects. I watched and listened until Blanche began to play the piano. I saw that this was my chance to leave, and I quickly stood up and moved into the hall. But Mr. Rochester followed me and stopped me at the bottom of the stairs.
"Why didn't you speak to me in there?"
he said. You look pale, Jane. What's wrong?
I am tired, sir, I replied.
And a bit sad, he said. Well, tonight you can go, but I want you to join us every evening. Now, go and send Sophie for Adele. Good night, my...
But he stopped himself from saying any more. Then he turned and quickly left me. The days after this were busy. How different from those first 3 quiet months. Everywhere I went, in the corridors, in the drawing room and halls, I met the guests or their servants. Each evening I went to the drawing room and sewed while Mr. Rochester and his guests talked and played games. Mr. Rochester never looked at me, but he looked at Blanche Ingram often. I was now sure that he was planning to marry her. I was not jealous, but it made me sad to watch them, because I knew that Blanche Ingram was not a nice person. She was beautiful, but she was not good. She was not intelligent, and she did not love him. She was not nice to Adele, and pushed her away if she came near. I knew that Mr. Rochester saw this too. I did not know why he was going to marry her, for money maybe, or because of her family. During this time, we had a short visit from a man called Mr. Mason, who lived in the West Indies. He arrived in a carriage and asked to see Mr. Rochester. When I went to get Mr. Rochester and told him that Mr. Mason was here to see him, his face turned white. He looked like he was about to faint and sat for a few minutes with one of my hands in both of his. Then he asked me to bring Mr. Mason. A few hours later, Mr. Mason left. That evening, Mr. Rochester was very quiet, and he seemed worried. 2 days after Mr. Mason's visit, I received a letter from Bessie.
Dear Miss Eyre, I am writing with bad news. Mr. John Reed has died. His life became very wild, and he mixed with the worst men and women. He owed money and went to prison. 3 weeks ago he came to Gateshead and asked his mother for all her money. She said no. The next day he went back to London and killed himself. His mother became ill and died a few days ago. I am writing because I found a letter for you in her things. It was from your uncle, John Eyre, in Madeira, and it was written 3 years ago. When he dies, all his money will come to you. I don't know why she did not send the letter to you. Please, would you come to Gateshead for your aunt's funeral? Your cousins, Georgiana and Eliza, would like to see you. Yours, Bessie. I closed the letter, and I immediately went to find Mr. Rochester to tell him my news. He did not look happy that I was leaving, and I had to promise to return soon.